Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, May 31st, the year of our Lord, 2026, and this is Trinity Sunday. Blessings to you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It is an absolute joy to welcome you here today, where we take some time to pause and to reflect, to take moments of prayer and silence and music, to contemplate Scripture, and to do it together. And while we are together, let's begin, as is our custom and practice here on the podcast, to begin by taking in a big, deep breath. Take in that breath and hold on to it. And let it go. Let's take in another breath. And as you hold this breath, savor it, pay attention to it. This gift of life, life's breath. And let go. And as you continue to breathe, I encourage you to call to mind the things in your life that are best, the things that light you up inside, fill you with hope. Perhaps they bring a smile to your face. These are the people and the places, the situations and opportunities that have a richness about them, life-affirming, they're good. And as you call them to mind, perhaps imagine these faces and places. Give thanks to God. It's all a gift. Perhaps open your hands as wide as they'll go in a gesture of giving and receiving. And extend your arms as wide as you can reach them out there to embrace life, to give thanks for this moment. In this posture, in this state of mind, let's begin together in worship. Please join with me in the call to worship as printed in the digital bulletin that comes along with the podcast. If you're unfamiliar where that is, it's over to the left margin where it says sermon notes. You click on that and the bulletin will come up for you. Let's begin. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. We gather to praise the one whose glory fills the heavens. When we look at the work of your hands, the moon, the stars, and all creation, we stand in awe of your wisdom, power, and care. Yet you have crowned humanity with honor and called us to reflect your love. We come with gratitude, humility, and joy. Come. Let us worship the Lord our God. We will praise his holy name together. Friends, our gospel reading comes from Matthew's gospel, the 28th chapter, verses 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but they doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Pause for a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, we call out to you and we pray. We're gathered here in this moment to be drawn into your life and to your love, to perhaps have a better understanding how we should live and how we should love. And so we lean in and listen to this, your good and living word. And we humbly ask for some help. We pray, O God, that you would save us from misinterpretation and from the things that distract us, so that we could truly hear what you are saying to each and every one of us as individuals and to your church, the body of Christ. We pray this in your holy name and we say, Amen. Well, friends, here we are on this day where we celebrate and try to make ourselves vulnerable to this teaching of the church, this teaching of Jesus, regarding who God is and how God is in the world. Trinity Sunday, God in three persons, Blessed Trinity, holy, holy, holy. I have found personally, and you may have had the same experience, that the Trinity is always, as a doctrine and trying to get my head around theologically what it means for God to be three in one. Our God that we know in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I say it at the close of every worship service. And it used to bother me that I didn't have a real airtight, systematic theology of the Trinity. It is something that I've inherited through the tradition, and yet I find the only way to explain it is to make myself comfortable with the fact that I can't really explain it, and I think that is important. That if you're ever presented with an airtight understanding, a grasping of the Trinity, that might be something to be careful of. Like so much of the God light and inspiration that we have, as Paul would say, we see now through a glass dimly. We're getting a glimpse of exactly what it might be that God is three persons. And that's not to say that that's not a worthwhile pursuit. It's an absolutely important and worthwhile pursuit. But if you pursue the question with the intention of getting a very intellectually satisfying answer, I think the pursuit is going in the wrong direction. And I've gone on too much about that already. I think, at least my spirit leans mostly in, rather than Trinity, unity. That all of the mysterious, creative, loving, gracious persons of God are completely unified, embodied in Jesus. It's helpful for me in reading this text from Matthew 28 to actually go back to a text we've visited a few times over the past several weeks in John's Gospel, in the 17th chapter, this beautiful high priestly prayer, this deep conversation that Jesus has with God, whom he calls Father. And I'll read a bit. I'll start in chapter 17, verse 20. I do not pray for these only, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Unity, this beautiful, mysterious, loving relationship, this communion between God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, this Word made flesh, this God that we first meet at the beginning of our scriptures, in the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth. God speaks, Elohim, bara, God creates. This Word, this full lexicon of God is given voice. And there's light, and there is order brought to the chaos. So we have the Word that is God, that then becomes a Word that is expressed in the created order, the natural world. And then we are blessed, beginning of John's Gospel, right? In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Nothing came into being except through this Word. And then this Word became flesh, born of Mary, breathed his first breath. Then this Word became alive, walked among us and spoke to us in language and in action and in prayer, spoke to us. This Word gave life to the world through his life and came to the moment in his life where this Spirit descends upon him, consumes him, and his public ministry begins, and he begins to call disciples. And he doesn't go to the best schools. He doesn't go to the top-tier rabbinical schools. He goes out among the people, and he observes them in their actions and the way they conduct their affairs, and he says, "Follow me. And follow me, and follow me." And he accumulates 12 followers who bring with them all of their stuff, all of their gifts and talents and temperaments and egos and sins. And they're just the ones that he needs for this Word to be shared with the world. This divinely inspired life, this living Word of God, the God that he calls Father, a life animated, given action by this person of the Holy Spirit. And then they go out. He takes them and gathers them, and they have a collection of experiences. He doesn't gather them all in some remote corner of town and have them show up for lectures. He doesn't have them read books of philosophy and theology. This word becomes flesh and dwells among us. And where does it seem to spend the majority of its time? Among the meek, among the disadvantaged and the poor, those who have lost any control of their minds or their lives, those who have been brutalized by the justice system, those who have been hurt by the very ones who were there to bring God's love, hurt by the temple authority. And so they walked down the places where there was injustice and scarcity and lack, and they brought a living word, a word that sometimes looked like a cup of cold water, a piece of bread, some fish, some of the best wine that they've ever tasted. And day upon day, week after week, month, year after year, they walked as students, disciples, apprentices. There were no quarterly exams. There was no text to be memorized. It was all embodied. It was about the experience of learning to live like their teacher. They took a lot of risks. They came under a lot of scrutiny. And ultimately, they had to give their lives. They'd given their lives in a great deal. They'd left vocations and family, and they followed in this way. They were immersed in the way and the word and the life of their rabbi, their teacher, their beloved Jesus. And they saw how he unflinchingly persevered, even when he knew that this life of grace and peace and charity and hope and compassion and a beautifully lived out and expressed religion, a way of being, even when he knew that ultimately the corrupt powers of this world would seek to take his life. That's the way that they were students. And that's where they found unity with the one that he called Father, where they began to understand what it meant when he breathed his spirit on them. A little earlier in John's gospel, where they were gathered for fear on the evening of the first day of the week, assuming that their end would be the same as his, he appeared to them, breathed out his peace, and blessed them. They didn't develop a formal doctrine of the Trinity. They lived it out. They experienced it in their community with him, and it changed them. It made them new people. One of them, Jesus, had to fall away. But the 11 then gather together as commanded on the morning of the resurrection. They gathered in Galilee. Now these 11, these disciples, these apprentices, these students, they went to Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, their resurrected rabbi, brother, friend, they worshiped him. But they doubted. And I actually take great comfort in hearing that. I am certainly a person that worships my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But I have questions. I doubt. I want more wisdom. I want greater clarity. I want to be able to articulate the doctrine of the Trinity in some ways that just fills people up with a very clear understanding. But I have to confess my weakness and my vulnerability. So there they are in the presence of their resurrected Lord. They bow down to worship, but still in their hearts they harbor some doubt. Jesus knows this. But Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Everything that you've witnessed as we've traveled together over the previous 3 years is because all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Your faith in me is well placed, even in the midst of your doubt. And so don't wait for perfect understanding. Here's his commissioning. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Just as I made you students and apprentices, you go and give the same to the world. Invite anyone who will listen. Where you are well received, abide there. Tell them the story. If you're rejected, then move on. But give them the opportunity to join in this thing. And don't wait until you think you've got it all figured out. Right now, in the midst of your doubt, you go out and invite people into this way. And you baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." And he's not giving them some kind of an ordinal to do the rite. That is, invite them into the fullness of the life of God. Everything you see expressed in me, that's the thing that you're inviting them into. When they come up out of the water, the old way, the old path, they can leave that behind. Because as we're given evidence again in this beautiful prayer back in John 17, there's a deep desire in Jesus' heart that all would share in the unity that he has with the one he names as Father. That the spirit that animates it all, this absolute love, mutual adoration, is not exclusive. It's not a private club. It's for anyone who wants to participate in it. He's established that bond with the 11 and promises them they have everything they need to go out and tell others that they can join in this loving union as well. And how do they do that? Teach them to obey everything that I have commanded, everything that you saw me do. You do the same. You're going to do it in your way, but do the same. Go where people are hurting. Go where people understand that they have need. Where people's hands are open. Fill them. And let them know why it is that you have been inspired to be with them, teaching them everything teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And in the midst of your doubt, remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age. They did as he commanded them to do. And that's why I'm standing here. And that's why you are where you are. That we have this deep desire for real community, real loving relationship, a place where we can show our scars and wounds, where we can be vulnerable to one another, where we can walk alongside one another, no one subordinate to anyone else, one, that among the many, we're one. One in the Father, one in the Son, one in the Holy Spirit, one in the life of Christ. It is tremendously beautiful and eternal good news, to which I say, Amen. Gracious and merciful, great God Almighty, you are the one who speaks and it is. You are the one who walked among us in the person of Jesus. You are the one who invites us into your love through the presence and the person of your Holy Spirit. We come to you in all faith and humility, and we pray. And first off, we confess to you that we have doubts and that we have sins. We are easily distracted. We want certainty. We want what we want when we want it. We speak and act impulsively. We confess all of these things to you, and you know the whole of it. But we come to you, O God, with broken spirits and contrite hearts, so that we might stay in this unity with you by your grace. And so we ask for your forgiveness and your love, for you've promised these things to us when we confess. We are eternally grateful for this forgiveness. And God, we pray over this, your beautiful world, all of its color and variety and complexity, the beauty of the earth, and all created order. We pray over all of humankind, for we bear your image. And we've been given responsibility for stewardship over all that you have created. We need your help. We cannot do it without you. We pray, Lord, for people in positions of power and influence. The corridors of power and influence, the trusted institutions, they seem to have been corrupted in so many ways. Oh God, we pray, lift up leaders within these places so that they could be redeemed and reconciled. So that your will would be done in and through them. We pray for friends and neighbors. And we pray for those that we would name as strangers, but you know each and every one of them. Help us to see them the way you see them. All of them, brothers and sisters. Help us to have compassion, to fill their needs and bind their wounds as we are able. And you know us. You know the thoughts that occupy our minds, the things that we need, the things that we want, the things that we are afraid of, the things we hope for. And sometimes we write these things down in the form of a prayer list, or sometimes it's a loop of thinking that we can't shake. So we come to you in this very moment with all of these things, so that we might share them with you, to hand this list over to you with the assurance that you will consider every word. And as you consider our prayers, O God, we make silent space to listen for your voice and to be blessed with a sense of your presence. We break our silence. We give you thanks, O God, for the gifts of peace and quiet. Help us to be intentional about practicing peace and quiet in our everyday lives. We pray, God, that you will hear us as we celebrate a prayer. Prayer that we inherit as a gift. Hear us, Lord, as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways today, I pray that we will do so with the assurance, a deep and inward certainty that we are one, united in the love of God, the God that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who blesses you and bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.